Oh hey, I'm Emily and this is my best friend Rachel.
Hey, I'm Rachel, and in 2010, aged 18 and fresh out of secondary school,
we went on a gap year, travelling to 5 countries in 5 months.
Shockingly, it didn't always go so well. We lost passports,
ran out of money,
jumped out of aeroplanes,
and landed ourselves in endless ridiculous scenarios.
But what we also managed to do is write a blog about our experiences.
And without smartphones or Instagram at our disposal, this blog is the only record we have of the trip of our young lives.
And 11 years on, we're reliving it all by reading back over our diary entries for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to the Gap Year Diaries podcast.
Ready to go now. Hey, what? The club.
Oh, okay. What song are you singing? I thought you'd made it up.
No, it's like Chloe can even handle me right now.
Oh my god, that's a tune. Is it Flo Rida?
Yeah.
Well, it will be Flo Rida with like 3 other people because Flo Rida can never single-handedly release a song. He's always like feet, isn't he? Bless him.
Yes. And why I'm singing that because of the lyric, are you ready to go now?
If that's I don't think it is, but I love it.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. Like,
I'm not going to check it because that seems petty, but... no, it's an absolute tune. It's a tune. How long did it take you to realise that Flo Rida means Florida? Because it took me like...
I think I read it somewhere.
It took me centuries to realise that. It was only when like... I think there's one video where he like... You can see his back and he's got like a back tat that says Flo Rida or Florida.
Amazing.
And it was only when I saw that I was like... I see what you've done there, Flo Rida.
Arashi. Really? The hyphen says it all.
Incredible wordplay. cool. Well, that's Flo Rida covered.
Tell us some hot news, Emily. Hot
goss. I don't have any hot goss.
7 up hot.
The extent of my hot goss is that Flo Rida means Florida. I don't know. I feel like both of us have had from 2009. Both of us have had quite sort of interviewee times lately. Like, because you're trying to get another teaching job in Thailand to move back there. Telling you your life, yeah. But you know. And I'm trying to. Well, I'm going to regret saying this on the podcast when I inevitably do not get the role. But I'm applying internally for a role at work. And so both of us have been like, you know, interviewed to within an inch of our lives. how was yours? Very how was true. The one you had recently?
Well, it was with my old friend Google Meet, and
Google Meet was interviewing you.
Google Meet was interviewing it. Yeah, so it was on Google Meet, which I was thrilled about because I don't know if anyone knows, but I just can't stand Zoom. All the links and passwords, I have no time for it. Google Meet, it's just a link. You open it and you're in.
Huge done. Rachel trivia there for fans. She hates.
There we go. I love
it. Hates Zoom. Loves Google Meet.
Not a fan of Zoom.
Write that down.
Google Meet is where it's at. we get onto the call, and the interviewer says hello. I say hello back, and he goes, I can't hear you. Is your mic turned on? Which is just like, God, yes, no, I know how to use this technology. So I'm looking at it, it's definitely switched on. I can see the volume's working, my mic's in, and I think I cannot figure this out. So it just became one of those very painful things where if you just look down at the screen, there's a mute button, just make sure that's switched. Yes, no, no. And then I thought, oh, right, well, I'll try and go onto my phone. So I got into Google Meet through my phone, but again, the sound wasn't working. So I thought, well, it must be a software issue with Google. How dare you let me down? And I was starting to panic because I thought this poor man is wasting his time and for someone who doesn't look like they know how to use this product. So I had a sort of ha-ha moment and I remembered I did a podcast. So I thought, let's go into the podcast room. So I said, right, I do a podcast. You can join this link. And I wanted to write the phrase, join me in my podcast room link. But instead of writing the word link, I accidentally wrote the word king. pink. So I very nearly said out to him, join me in my podcast room that pink. And so I just managed to spot it in my shaky, panicked way. And I just managed to change the key K back to an L and sent it successfully. But yeah, it must have looked a bit ridiculous. I couldn't use my sound when I was doing a podcast. But thankfully, good news is I got the job. So yay.
Oh, yay.
It worked.
That's fantastic.
It did, yes.
You got the job without even...
I got the job offer.
Without your mic even working.
Yeah, for 15 full minutes I could have killed it in its sleep. I really nearly wanted to chuck the thing out the window.
Wow.
But yeah, that was my little story.
It's a great story. I had an interview in the week where one of, I better be careful with this because they are obviously my colleagues interviewing me because it's an internal role, but one of them had throughout the entire hour interview yogurt on his beard.
Oh.
Oh, and I was like, really? I don't know whether to point that out or not, because like, A, it's an interview, B, he is currently my manager, so it was all a bit tricky. So I just let the yogurt be a feature. I was just like, why not let the yogurt judge me as well? Why not make it a three-person panel?
More human.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so that's
you, me, and the yogurt.
Me and the yogurt. So that's our interviews. If anyone cares about our personal lives, our career progression. But what we will do now is to say hello and welcome everybody.
Yeah, hey guys.
Welcome, listeners.
Hello.
To episode 6. If you are new here, which you may be, just to quickly catch you up on what we're about, we are two best friends from the UK, currently rereading our staggeringly comprehensive blogs from when we went travelling 13 years ago, and we are currently reliving our time in the fourth country of our trip, New Zealand. You can follow us, if you want, and you should, on Instagram at Gap Year Diaries Podcast.
So last episode, we read back over our first day in the geothermal hotspot of Rotorua, whereby we hung out with some Maori locals, luged our way down a hill, and met a glorious band of glee kids on their holes.
Oh my gosh.
On their little holly
bobs. On their little holly bobs. That was so fun. That was, oh, I can't even. The pinnacle of my life. And the overview of today's episode, today we are going to be taking a waltz down memory lane with our second blog from Rotorua, and this time we'll be reliving a blissful day that we spent at a spa, which culminated with the aforepromised date with the glee kids in the hostel bar. Pretty hot stuff.
A glee date.
A date of glee.
So this week's blog was written by Emily, and as usual, we've changed the pronoun so it makes sense when read in each of our voices.
We have indeed.
Kia.
Cool.
Oh my god, I'm excited.
I'm excited,
Emily,
too.
I see it's you to read first.
It is me to read first. I'm absolutely raring to go. I can't wait to dive back in. Yeah, Rotorua was such a cool place to visit. I think it was like when we really first started to kind of get to grips with New Zealand as a country. But yeah. For the first time in several days, Rach, Claire, Joe and I were not up at the crack of dawn for bus boarding today. This meant we were able to lie around in bed for a bit, which provided a pleasant change from the frantic waking hours we had grown used to recently. These invariably involved, in order of appearance... Oh yeah, so we've mentioned this before, probably more times than anybody actually needs to hear about, but... It's going to be mentioned again, unfortunately, the routine of Rachel waking from slumber. Let's hear about it for what is roughly the 465th time. So what I've written in the blog is, these invariably involved, in order of appearance, 1, Rachel's highly irritating iPod alarm going off. 2, me sleepily anticipating her waking up and switching it off. 3, Rachel sleeping soundly through the repetitive cycles of ringing. 4, me having to get out of bed to switch it off myself. 5, me not being able to find the iPod entangled in her duvet layers and having to literally shake her awake to determine its location. 6, Rachel rendering my waking attempts futile by simply turning over and going back to sleep. 7, me having to leave the room lest the alarm's constant ringing sent me slowly insane. Yeah, Rachel. she's gone. We've lost her. I don't think you are still like this, but are you?
No, sadly Chris had to have a word with me about it and said, look, can we reduce the amount of ringing time? So I change it from every 5 minutes every every 10 minutes now the alarm goes off in the morning. I can't deal with just one. I know a lot of people are going to be against this, and that's completely fine.
They're going to morally object to it.
Insanely annoying. but I like the idea of just being, no, not yet, you know, using my own time with that. I do like a little bit of a snooze in the morning.
That's totally fair.
Unless there's a flight to catch.
Well, sure.
That dives me straight awake.
I love how it's only if there's a flight to catch, like no other life event, regardless of how urgent, will rouse you from your slumbers. A flight, you're up and about.
Sorry, chick.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't, like, of the times that, you know, we've woken up in the same place, I can't say that I do think that you're still like this. I think you've got much more of a sort of handle on your own waking. You've got your routine. Yeah, I think, and you're a snoozer, and that's totally fine. You can be a snoozer.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think I'm the kind of person where I wake up 10 minutes before my alarm goes off due to anxiety. So, yeah, that's probably why the situation would play out as it did when we were in hostels. At a heartily shameful hour... Oh. The word du jour, heartily.
Yeah. Oh.
Everybody take a shot.
But not if you're driving.
I thought it would go without saying, but apparently not. If you're driving, don't take a shot. At a heartily shameful hour, we dragged ourselves down to the hostel computers for a bit of internet time. Not before I had to purchase literally my 6th global gossip internet card from reception after losing each and every one of its predecessors. Who the fuck cares about this? This is yet more like absolutely unnecessary detail that I've just included for nobody's benefit.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with that. I'm going to disagree because I think it's quite a period piece. You know, you would never have these internet cards anymore. You know, you would just be on your phone. You wouldn't need to sit at the computer desk and have a card for it. You know, you'd be good to go wherever you are.
True. You think it adds vital context to the piece?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. I quite like that, yes.
That's kind. That's very kind. after losing each and every one of its predecessors, and here we located Claire and Joe, a fair amount of time passed before we decided to begin our day in earnest and do what we had booked an extra day in Rotorua to do, check out its famous natural spa. I don't know if there was just one. I think it's inaccurate to say its famous natural spa. I don't think there was just one spa. But just to kind of give a bit more context around that, Rotorua is... like it's a geothermal, like it's known for its geothermal activity basically, and yeah, I think, and it has like as such natural hot springs. We previously said that the whole place smelt quite strongly of sulfur, which, you know, wasn't pleasant initially, but we got used to it. And yeah, I think like the majority of the geothermal activity is in the... okay, so I wrote this down and I was like, let's read this word many times and get it lodged into your brain so you can pronounce it. That's not happening. But it's the Wakariwariwa Valley.
Oh, wow.
I am so sorry for that, but, you know, that's what it is. I think that's where, like, the majority of the sort of, like, geothermal shit goes down, essentially. That's the sort of geothermal, like, hub, the town centre of geothermal activity. But yeah, as such, there were like a plethora of like spas and pools and stuff, kind of like dining out on that as a USP. But yeah, it was quite a coup for us to go to a spa for the day. I don't think we indulged in such luxury before on the gap year.
No, I don't think we did. I think just sharing that nice large bathtub was about as far as we went at that time in Lima.
Oh yeah, of course. There was that time that we took a bath together.
And the hot tub.
And those two things are apparently comparable to going to a spa. No, you're quite right, Rachel.
No, it was just a slight side note, but I was teaching my class the other day and I was reading a book specifically about the Victorian times in England. I will underline that, Victorian times in England. And I think the word sulfur came up and I explained that sulfur like has a smell of rotting eggs. You can smell it by volcanoes. And anyway, as we moved on, I said to the children, right, where do you think this is set? Like, where do you think that you know, this part in the chapter is going on. And one kid goes, in a volcano? I was like, what, in Victorian England? When are we in Victoria? You said about sulfur. I said, no, not quite. Them. Oh, God.
Oh.
No, there's no volcanoes in England.
It would be awesome, though, if Victorian England took place within a volcano.
I think that would be rather
it
cool.
It would be, yeah, quite a different vibe for, yeah, some classic works of literature.
Yeah, no, their geography is quite something.
Oh, bless them.
One boy kept saying that a continent was Dubai, and I was like, I'm afraid Dubai is not a continent, sweetheart.
As much as it wants to be.
Good try.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not even a country, it's an area, but we'll move.
We'll move. It's fair to say we were very much seduced into this idea by the incredibly reasonable price of $10 each to spend, as long as we damn well pleased in the hot pools. Yeah, some yet more superfluous detail there. $10, everybody, for a spa trip we took 13 years ago. So, yeah, real relevant stuff. And so, with this dream in our hearts, we dug out bikinis for the first time since Wakachina and set off on what we thought would be a simple and swift jaunt to where the spa was situated. What followed was, in fact, an incredibly stressful and confusing trek around the town, which produced nothing but progressing anger and annoyance, mainly directed at the multiple maps we had taken from reception that were proving simply useless. Eventually, we seemed to be making some kind of progress, and after a great deal more arguing and wrong turns, we happened upon our destination. Yeah, this is an incredibly long and verbose way to simply say, we went to the spa. Do you remember that? Do you remember wandering around, getting lost, getting angry? I mean, why would you? It's not memorable in the slightest, but your memory is quite powerful.
Yeah, I just remember the smell of sulfur and the sun shining and just really quite keen to get to the spa. That's kind of what I remember.
That's fair.
Don't remember it being $10, but I can understand.
Our time at the spa began with us being stared at in quite the derogatory manner by a crew of Japanese pensioners submerged in the main pool. What the hell? I just don't, like, why would a crew of Japanese pensioners, to use my own phraseology, be staring at us in a derogatory manner? Like, they almost certainly gave absolutely zero shits about our presence. And this is almost certainly, like, just my own conjecture. But apparently they were super judgmental of us just entering the spa. And continued on to me being engaged in a repetitive conversation with one of the pool attendants about, of all things, Sarah Brightman, and finally settled on the four of us hanging out in an only slightly too hot infinity pool overlooking the lake. Yeah, I had no idea who Sarah Brightman was when I read back over this blog. I was like, who the fuck is that?
I had no idea.
Apparently she's a classical singer, a British classical singer. So Lord only knows how I was managing to hold down a conversation about Sarah Brightman at the age of 19 with some Kiwi pool attendant, but apparently I was. Then we went on this into this beautiful infinity pool overlooking the lake. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was quite stunning.
It was beautiful. I think it was like worth the famous $10 entry fee just for that, I think.
Yeah, it was a very beautiful place to be.
It was, but as I go on to say, of course, I have to go on to complain about it. If you ignored the feeling of your insides being slowly sautéed by the sun's rays and then violently boiled as you got back into the pool, it was quite the pleasant experience. Wow. There's a TripAdvisor review written, ready to go. But all pleasant experiences have to end. And so after we felt we had taken advantage of the as long as you like promise as much as we possibly could, we dried ourselves off, got dressed and headed to a nearby supermarket to purchase some dinner ingredients. More scintillating information there. Thankfully, I haven't gone into details about what we purchased, but, you know, I could well have done. It's not outside the realms of possibility. That was a lovely day at the spa, actually. I have fond memories of that day.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. Nice blues, azures, an azure day.
An azure cerulean day.
I love the word cerulean.
It's from, do you remember, it's from The Devil, it's not from The Devil Wears Prada, but it's in The Devil Wears Prada, the film, when they're talking about the belt.
I just know it from, it's a name of one of the Pokemon gyms, to be quite honest.
Right,
it's
sure.
Really insane,
yep.
Gym.
Okay. Yep.
Different wavelengths entirely.
Different wavelengths. but tells you everything you need to know about both of us.
So true.
It's your turn to read.
It is. I can do that. That's a skill I can do. Excellent. So let's go. As we were sat around a table in the kitchen a few hours later, blissfully full after quite the hostel meal triumph, it suddenly dawned on me that we had a date that evening. Do you remember, guys, with who? That's right, a date with Glee Club, no less. And so, later that evening, we found ourselves back at the hostel bar at the previously agreed time. Lo and behold, the entire Glee crew were there, just hanging out as if they owned the place. As promised, we ended up on the dance floor with them, which provided many a laugh as they all lined up and performed some Texas line dance with much a whooping, a hollering, and lasso action involved. Oh my God. The following dialogue then occurred.
Oh my God. It's a, it's a short bit of dialogue, but it's precious, precious dialogue. Rachel, do you want to play Claire or do you want to play Josh from Glee?
Oh, definitely Claire.
Okay, I didn't think you'd go that way, but fine.
No, definitely Claire.
Okay, so I'm going to deliver the iconic line of Josh from Glee that we found ever so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you go first.
So Claire says, amongst this dancing, "Oh my God, where did you learn that dance?"
And Josh from Glee went, "We do it every year at summer camp. Solid."
Solid. I remember this moment so clearly. I thought what happened was they had said that to me and I regaled that to you and you just fell apart laughing. Like, it was the funniest thing you've ever heard.
Oh, really?
I still swear. Yeah, I swear I remember telling you that. And you just like, he's just sort of ricocheted backwards and
solid.
I mean, jerked your head back in such joy.
I mean, 13 years on, I can't quite have that reaction to it, but yeah, I do remember finding it super funny at the time.
We then dragged them for a proper bit of dancing, and after a while, Josh and John, the two that had attempted to work the moves on me and Claire that night before, singled Rachel and I out and started bumping and grinding with us in the most awkward way you can possibly imagine.
This is such a deeply unfortunate mental picture. Do you remember this happening?
It just was so white and nerdy. It just reminded me of that song from Al Yankovic. Look at me, I'm white and nerdy.
It was deeply white and deeply nerdy and deeply awkward. But I'm not sure if I remember it viscerally in my head. Maybe I blocked it out. Do you remember it actually happening? Like, do you remember being bumped and grinded by a Glee child?
I think there was, I mean, because they were so tall, I just remember how tall and quite thin they were. So
it's quite hard to bump and grind when you're
as an image.
Incredibly tall.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like one of those blow up things, like the blow up marketing, you know, with the air coming out.
What, yeah. Then you get outside like car dealerships.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. It's a kind of bumping and grinding thing. The arms up.
I mean, as R. Kelly once said, there ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. But then, you know, given recent revelations, I don't think we should take the word of R. Kelly, so...
No, absolutely I would say not. It's such a shame, because I love that song.
It's such a shame, but, you know...
Hot in the Kitchen.
That's a different song, but sure.
No, it is, but still.
But still, it's the same back catalogue. But yeah, this bumping and grinding, there was something wrong with it, I would say. And yet it happened.
We just allowed it to happen.
We just allowed it to happen, as we allow many things to happen.
Regrettably, we ended up enclosed by their gyrations in an uncomfortable circle of ineptness.
I think this is my favourite line from the blogs of all time. We ended up enclosed by their gyrations in an uncomfortable circle of ineptness. I mean, it's poetry. It's verse.
It is beautiful, yeah.
I got...
Yeah, gorgeous. But also, love the rhythm for that.
It conjures such an image. Of like this like mass of Glee kids just gyrating as one and slowly closing in on me and you in the middle, like unable to break free because they're like pelvises
with
the
like inflatable arms as well, like
oh my God, you know, those Glee kids, they were giving it all they had.
Yeah, they were loving it. They were loving it. Every second of it. They probably couldn't believe their luck that like girls outside of Glee Club were keen.
Well, it was an all-male Glee Club, so they'd set themselves up for failure, to be honest. We were easy prey.
I kept trying to dance free, but to no avail. To make matters worse, Joe and Claire then left apologetically to leave Em and I in the middle of the floor, trying to fend them off. In the end, we made the delicate decision that we all have to make in our lives at some point. No matter how hilarious it would have been to get off with the Glee Kids, we just couldn't bring ourselves to do it. We made a pathetic excuse and ran away.
Oh my god, this day had such an incredible narrative arc. Rachel, how do you feel 13 years on about our decision not to get off with Glee Kids?
I'm pretty set on that. I mean, I just don't know how it would have worked. I imagine like a penguin coming down across like its young, you know, that tall neck coming down. I just know.
What, because of the height difference?
Yeah, the height difference. See, yeah.
What you mean, like when like an emperor penguin tries to feed its chick?
That's exactly it.
That's so fucking funny. And also the fact that there were about 20 of them and two of us. I mean, it's like, it's quite horrible, really. Like, it would be quite sinister if they weren't so completely dorky. But, like, how it would have worked is such a good question. I don't really want to think about it too much.
I swear one of them had a fanny pack. What did I have? I had one.
I was going to say, you can't be dissing. You can't be throwing shade on a fanny pack. You were money belts for life. Oh god, it's a shame, because obviously it would have made this episode a little bit more spicy. But unfortunately, we took the coward's way out and apparently just ran away, which is, you know, an interesting way to deal with the situation.
Just got up and just left.
Just literally like, bye.
The running animation from what is it, Coyote?
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote. That was very much what I had in my head. I wonder if we I mean, presumably we never saw them again. I don't think they were staying at our hostel. I think they travelled to our hostel to get off with us. That was the end. I mean, it's an interesting way for it to have ended, but we are where we are. Oh, and that's the end of that blog. So not the most, you know, eventful blog, but it had some moments.
Right, since I last read, I can ask you the question. Emily, best person we met, / favourite memory with a person?
My best person I met, / favourite memory of the person. So this is quite a bit tricky because, A, we spent quite an insular day with Joe and Claire. And obviously, you know, we've talked about Joe and Claire endlessly before. Obviously, we didn't have the best, you know, our time with the Glee Kids was slightly sort of stained by their sort of weird behaviour. So I didn't really see any kind of opportunities for answers to this question in those two scenarios, but I think I'd just like to say that my best memory was being in that infinity pool overlooking the lake, and I think it was one of those moments where, yeah, when you're kind of when you're traveling, obviously everything's quite fast-paced and frenzied, and so the sort of rare moments you get where you are kind of just like in a very chilled situation, especially when you're like as young as we were and like there's so much focus on like activities and getting drunk, I think like it's rare that you have like a sort of moment of stillness and serenity. Maybe I'm making way too much out of this. Maybe we were in the infinity pool for like 10 minutes and then we're like, boring. But I do remember, like, we've got quite a lot of photos of us like sort of leaning, like kind of with our arms up on the edge, like overlooking the lake. Maybe that was just for show, but I do feel like we did have quite a sort of,
they're
like,
gonna go on the Instagram.
They are gonna go on the Instagram, of course they are. But yeah, I do feel like that was quite a nice moment of like reflectiveness where the four of us were just kind of spending quality time together, obviously in stunning surroundings, and we were really just like kind of taking in the environment that we were in, which, yeah, as for reasons I just mentioned, also was quite hard at points. Like, I mean, we've been in Rotorua already for over 24 hours, but we'd literally like luged and like kind of Maori villaged our way through it in a sort of blur of things going on. So we haven't really had time to like take it in. So yeah, I think that's my answer. What would you say for your best person you met / favourite memory with a person that wasn't me?
I mean, it just had to be that line from Josh from Glee saying, "We do it every year at summer camp, solid." That has shaped my life, that line.
Shaped my life. It really has.
It really stands out as a moment on that dance floor, coming to you and telling you that. Yeah, that is so crystal in my memory. It just must have done somehow. It just has. So it's just such a huge moment in my life, that line. It was just seeing you just crack up. Oh, it was such a lovely moment. Yeah, so it was just, I didn't know people could speak like that, and how seriously he took that line as well, with no ounce of irony. It was beautiful. It had to be him.
A pure, joyful,
just a pure
geek
moment. It was such a pure moment.
Yeah, it was a classic line. It was one of the, I think we probably wrote it down somewhere in our sort of like list of iconic lines.
I think we
trip.
Did, yeah. Oh yeah, we definitely did.
Should we move on to the lesson we learnt section? What was the lesson you learnt?
So, next section, Emily, what was the lesson you learnt?
What was the lesson I learnt? Not a lot of lessons learnt today, during this blog, other than if you do end up in your life, and like, I don't know if this is likely, I can't say. It happened to us, but that might just be coincidence. If you do end up in your life being enclosed by a group of young white geeks who are in a glee club gyrating at you, like if you kind of feel that closing in, if you see sort of like kind of movement of like pelvises around you sort of closing in, and you start feeling a bit claustrophobic, you're not sure what to do, you think, how's this going to end? If you ever find yourself in that situation, there is only one way to deal with it, and that is literally you just turn and you just run. You run for the hills. You run away from those gyrating pelvises
degrees
as fast as you damn well can. That's the lesson I learned that day. It's not
a good lesson, mate.
It's not a lesson I've learned. It's not a lesson I've used again, but I know it's there if ever I should need it, and I probably will again sometime. What did you learn, Rach?
Love it. It's a lesson that's taken me some time to learn, but ringing alarms in the morning are really not okay and not fun for many people around, especially if you're sharing a room with more than just yourself. So it's good to be courteous of other people sleeping. But you know what? That stands in such irony, because for years and years and years, it frightened me to death of waking someone up accidentally.
Really? Like, that was your biggest fear?
It was quite a large fear for quite a long time. Yeah, the idea of waking somebody up by accident or on purpose really, really freaked me out. Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah, it's a weird one. Yeah, my alarm system doesn't seem to take that into consideration somehow. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, all these years later, I'm sorry that you had to bloody baby me to wake me up.
You don't have to be sorry, but I appreciate that you are.
Feel it. I feel it in my bones.
What's your like go-to alarm? What have you got going on? Like,
it's just a Google one, which I saw a TikTok where the Google alarm is like da 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 da, whereas the iPhone one is like, wake the fuck up.
Yeah,
wake
the
up!
iPhone.
It's very
the
demanding.
iPhone one is like quite haunting, actually.
Yeah,
it's sort of the same.
It's horrible.
Yeah, but there's another one that's even worse that like I don't use, but my partner uses, and it's like almost kind of like got the same like haunting timbre as like an ice cream van. Sort of like it wakes you up with that same level of anxiety, like, you know, when you hear an ice cream van. Like, as a kid, maybe this is just me, but as a kid I found them really sinister. Like,
they are quite haunting.
They're in like the minor key, and it's just a very creepy, creepy song. I don't like ice cream, so that probably plays into it. But yeah, it's the same kind of like register of anxiety that I get when I hear that alarm to when I hear an ice cream
van.
Maybe
you should have a little word with them and say, look, I've had enough of this ice cream van waking me up every morning.
I could, but yeah, it's not top of my list of priorities, but... But you know, it's there to be discussed on the list.
Well, moving on from ice cream, listeners, hey there, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. You can subscribe, follow, share us with a friend, follow us on Instagram at Gap Year Diaries Podcast, and stop by and say hello, because we love hearing from you guys. And we will be back in 2 weeks' time with tales from our time in the next Kiwi bus destination, Waitomo, where we go exploring in caves and get ourselves into yet another sticky situation with a hunky New Zealand rugby team. Ooh!
Oh dear.
quite a switch up from Glee.
Yes, quite a switch up from Glee. And if you would like, in the meantime, to give us a review, please do give us the same number of stars as Uzbekistan won medals in the last Olympic Games. Rachel, how many is that?
Oh my God. Well, it must be 5.
Yeah, it's 5, yeah. Well done, Uzbekistan. Good work.
I like that. Really thinking outside the box for these 5 stars. I love it.
I have to think quite hard about them, I'm not gonna lie. Like, sometimes it takes hours of my life, but I do it for you, I do it for the listeners.
Thank you, Emily, we appreciate your service.
I'm glad.
Give you 5 badges of honor for that.
5? Wow. Yeah, okay. Uzbekistan would be so jealous. Great. Well, all that's left to do is say goodbye and say see you in 2 weeks' time, listeners. We hope you've loved this, this episode.
We had fun. We had a good laugh. And if anything, guys, stay solid.
Stay solid.
Some salad.
Stay glee.
Yeah, see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.